This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Brothers and sisters in Islam, today our khutbah is titled Righteous Friends or righteous companions. And we're basing it off of the famous hadith of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he said, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَجَلِيسِ السُّوءِ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِخِ الْكِيرِ In this hadith, an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives a parable, a comparison, to the righteous friend and to the wicked or the bad friend. And he compared the righteous friend to Hamil al-Misk, the musk carrier, someone who sells oils, colognes, perfumes. ونافخ الكير, which is the bellow blower, which you will typically find at the blacksmith. And he gives the example, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, النبي صلى الله على دين and in this case so the will be on the deen of their khalil deen in this hadith does not mean religion deen here means their way of life or their lifestyle just like in the hadith of when someone comes to marry and ask for your daughter's hand اذا جاءكم من ترضون دينه وخلقه فزوجوه Dinahu here can't mean religion, because you will not accept anyone but a Muslim for your daughter. It's not allowed otherwise. So when the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ in this hadith, it means when someone comes to you and you're pleased with their way of life, their lifestyle, and with their manners. So similarly here, الرَّجُلُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ A man will be upon the lifestyle of his khalil. And al-khalil is the very close companion. It's not just an acquaintance, but this is someone that is very close to you. So that means you're going to adopt the lifestyle, events, hobbies, values of your close friend. So you should be careful and look carefully to who, to your close friends, see who they are. will walk into a perfumery and not smell a good odor, or not get a sample on your hand, or not get a gift, or buy, or just you walk in and out completely unaffected, is absolutely inconceivable. And it's inconceivable that you walk into the workplace of the blacksmith and walk out and not feel any heat, or have to dodge some sparks, or not smell a bad odor, either from the smoke of the fire or from the person himself, or you yourself start to sweat. But it's just not possible to walk in and out and not be affected. So the hadith is telling us, your close friends, they will affect you. They will either affect you a lot, or they will affect you a little bit, but there will be some sort of effect. And that's why the companion Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he used to say, "Ma min shay'in adallu ala shay'." There is nothing that is more of an indicator of one to another, as a friend is to his friend. Even more so than smoke is an indicator to fire. So he's saying, when you see smoke, it indicates that there's fire somewhere. He said, even more than that connection is when you see a friend, you know that's how the other friend is. Yani if this friend is righteous, then he's righteous. Or if they're corrupt, they're corrupt. And that's for the parents. And sometimes parents are oblivious to this. A parent once told me, my son, all his friends do this and this and this, but alhamdulillah, my son doesn't do any of that. That's not possible. Why is he hanging out with these people then? It's not possible. So, and that's why Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he used to give advice. He said, "Istakthiru min al-ashab al-salihin fi al-dunya, fa'innahum yanfa'una yawm al-qiyamah." He said, make a lot of righteous friends in this dunya because they will benefit you on the Day of Judgment. And then he proceeds to describe what is in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the people go to al-Jannah. And then they say, and this shows you how strong love is and how strong friendship is, that it, even after they're in al-Jannah, they say, how can we enjoy the pleasures of al-Jannah while our brothers are being tormented and punished in the hellfire? That's to that extent. How can we enjoy al-Jannah while our brothers are being punished in the hellfire? Some of the scholars said these brothers are referring to here are not even very close friends, not best friends or anything. Some of the scholars said this could be someone who just came and sat with them once at a gathering and they remember this person. And so, فَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلْ يَشْفَعْ. The man will continue to intercede for his friend until that friend will be taken out of the hellfire. And then the people of the hellfire will be amazed and puzzled. And they will say, "Man shafa'a lahu?" Yani, who is the one who interceded for them? They will ask, was his father a shaheed, a martyr? And it will be told, no. Was his brother a shaheed? And it will be told, no. Did an angel take them out of the hellfire? They will be told, no. Did a prophet take them out of the hellfire? And they will be told, no. And then they will be told it was their friend who interceded for them and got them out of the hellfire. And after that, the people of the hellfire will say what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Ash-Shu'ara. فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ. We don't have any intercessors. وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ. And we have no close friends. فَلَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They're saying, and if we could return back to earth, we would be from the righteous. And some scholars said, we would be from the righteous, we would be close to the righteous, we would befriend the righteous, so they could benefit us in the akhirah. And that's why in Surah Az-Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ. الْأَخِلَّاءُ, plural of Khalil. We said the Khalil is your very close companion. So the plural form, the close friends on that day, يَوْمَئِذٍ, بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. They will be enemies to each other, except the righteous. So people who are together today and have strong bonds, whether it be just regular bonds or in crime or gangs, and they will die for each other, those will be enemies on the Day of Judgment. They will be cursing each other, hating each other, making dua against each other in the hellfire, incurring, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to curse the other person and to punish the other person more because they were not righteous, because they will blame one another for being the reason that they ended up in the hellfire. And that's why it's very important, especially for the young men and women listening, and for the parents to be aware of this. A lot of times, some of our youth, they don't have any Muslim friends. And when you tell them, make sure you have Muslim friends, they give the same argument. They always say, those non-Muslim friends of mine are better than some of these Muslim friends. But those non-Muslim friends are not from this quality that we're talking about. They will not intercede for you on the Day of Judgment. They will not assist you on the Day of Judgment. And they will probably be enemies on the Day of Judgment. There's no benefit. Make sure you have righteous friends. Young and old, make sure you have a lot of righteous friends. In another hadith, and again you see, and many times you see this in Islam, you see an immense reward, and when you look it up, it's something really simple. It's always like that. Immense reward mentioned, and just for doing a simple act, or saying a simple short dua, or praying two short rak'at. But in this hadith, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ لَأُنَاسًا مَا هُمْ بِأَنْبِيَاءَ وَلَا شُهَدَاءَ. He says, there will be people, and this is talking about the Day of Judgment, from the servants of Allah. They are not prophets, and they are not martyrs. يَغْبِطُهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. يَغْبِطُهُمْ الْغِبْطَ تَمَنِّي الْمَرْءَ النِّعْمَةَ الَّتِي عِنْدَ غَيْرِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَمَنِّي زَوَالِهَا عَنْهُ. يعني الْغِبْطَ is when you wish you had the blessing that the other person has, but without wishing for them to lose it. That's the hasad. Do you just wish you had the same thing, but you're happy that they have it? So these are normal servants of Allah. And on the Day of Judgment, the prophets and the martyrs, the highest levels of people, will wish they had what these normal people have. يوم القيامة بمكانهم من الله تعالى, because of their position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, in another version, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes that he will give them manabir, pulpits, which are like elevated areas, like stages, made of light. And their faces will be filled with light, and they will be upon light. Then the Prophet ﷺ describes, لَا يَخَافُونَ إِذَا خَافَ النَّاسِ. This is the Day of Judgment. This is the day of fear, when people are afraid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the hour الْقَارِعَ الَّتِي تَقْرَعُ الْقُلُوبِ, that it shocks the heart with fear. And Allah mentions how people will be looking down, just like when someone is in trouble, they're looking down. How many times in the Quran, أَبْصَارُهَا خَاشِعَ خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ. Everyone is afraid, everyone's in trouble. But the Prophet ﷺ says, these people, لَا يَخَافُونَ إِذَا خَافَ النَّاسِ, they will not be afraid if people are afraid. وَلَا يَحْزَنُونَ إِذَا حَزِنَ النَّاسِ, and they will not be saddened even if everyone else is saddened. So the Prophet ﷺ described them, هُمْ قَوْمٌ تَحَابَوْا بِرَوْحِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَرْحَامٍ بَيْنَهُمْ. These are people who loved each other for the sake of Allah, and there was no blood relation between them. If this was the only evidence we have for the importance of having righteous friends and loving them and connecting them with them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it would be sufficient. In another hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي, that my love is guaranteed لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِي, for those who love each other on my sake, for my sake. يعني, my love is guaranteed for those two people or more who love each other for my sake. وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِي, and those who gather and sit because of me, for my sake. وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِي, and those who visit each other for my sake. And visiting each other, this is an important point, it's something that we've kind of abandoned now. Make sure you visit each other in your homes and invite people to your homes. Because the hadith already mentions that they sit together. So when you take your brother out to a restaurant and you sit there and talk and meet, you've accomplished this. You sat together. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned they visit each other. And there is a higher level of intimacy when you visit someone in their home. And you actually get to visually see the state that they're in. And you get to see what kind of car they have. And you get to know if they're poor or not. And many times you don't know the situation of people. I'll never forget, we were passing out the zakat al-fitr, yani the food. And there was a brother we used to always meet in the masjid. We don't know his situation. And I was surprised that we stopped and we delivered the food to his house. You would not know his situation unless you visited his home. It's another level of intimacy. And as we all know, the famous hadith of the man that was on his way to another village or town to visit his friend, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him an angel. And the angel asked him, Aina turid? Where are you going? And he said, Uridu akhan li fi hadhihi al-qarya. I'm going to a brother of mine in this village. So then the angel asked him, do you have any business or anything that you need from him or anything like that? And he says, no, except that I just love him for the sake of Allah. There's nothing else that I want from him. So he tells him, I am an angel of Allah sent to you to inform you, بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَبَّكَ كَمَا أَحْبَبْتَهُ فِيهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you just like you have loved your friend for the sake of Allah. And that's why the early Muslims, when they would enter a new city, what dua would they make when they enter a new city? To stay for a while or to move to it, they would say, Allahumma hayyi' li jaleesan salihan. Their dua is, Ya Allah, find me a good companion, someone righteous that I can be with. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for his forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. The word صديق, which means friend in Arabic, linguistically comes, its root is from a صدق, which is truthfulness. So what does truthfulness have to do with friendship? The scholar said that if there is any gap, they fill it. If there's a shortcoming, they will complete it. If there's a flaw in you, they will conceal it. If you need help in righteousness, they will assist you, they will advise you, and they will care for your akhirah. If you want to know who your true, really good, righteous friends are, see if they give you advice about your akhirah or not. Because the ones who love you are the ones who care for your akhirah. No, someone who doesn't advise you about your next life, about your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not true love. And that's why for the youth in the audience, who is always on your case about your akhirah? It's your parents. Or even more specifically, your mother, who is always reminding you to pray. Because true love means you care for someone's akhirah. So advise one another and accept advice and act upon that advice. The two last points we're going to mention. What if you have bad friends and bad company? Do you stay with them or do you part ways? And the guideline is as follows. As long as you are changing them to any good, even if it's just 5%, as long as good happens when you're with them. You have four friends, they're not very practicing. But when you're with them, they might pray dhuhr. They might not use profanity or curse or do some haram things because your presence is there. Then you keep that relationship and you keep advising and you keep that link with them. But if it ever gets to the point where when you're with them, you miss dhuhr, you start to use bad words or profanity or say things that are inappropriate, the minute it starts to affect your deen, that's one is the point where you can part ways from them. And then the last thing is setting boundaries with friends. And we always say the good news here is that you only have to set the boundary one time. You don't have to always do it. You have to let them know that you don't accept something once, and they will remember it the rest of the time. It's not like every time you meet them you have to say it. But a lot of times people are very scared or shy to let people know what makes them comfortable or uncomfortable, what their boundaries are. So don't, you only have one time to do it one time, and they will listen. That's the end of that. But a very important note, especially in our day and age, is that when you set the boundaries, you don't have to be rude. And there doesn't have to be a tone of belligerence and rudeness. Just let people know what your boundaries are, and then continue on with your friendship. With that, اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اجعلنا من أغنى خلقك بك ومن أفقر عبادك إليك اللهم املأ قلوبنا حبا لك وخوفا منك ورجاء فيك اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا إلى أحد من خلقك اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وانصر عبادك المؤمنين. اللهم أبرم لأمة الإسلام أمرا رشدا يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.